Dr. Pam Peek, founder of the Peak Performance Center and renowned nutrition and fitness expert, and Michelle King Robeson, founder of EmpowHer.com and leading women's advocate, cut through the confusion and share the naked, bottom-line truth about all things woman. It's Her Radio.
Oh, boy. Talk about the naked bottom line truth, Michelle. Today we have an absolutely amazing segment. I want to get like right to it because you and I have been buzzing about this all morning.
We have.
And that is sex addiction real? And there's no better person to talk about this than Rob Weiss, who is the founding director of the Sexual Recovery Institute, Los Angeles, and the senior vice president of clinical development for Elements Behavioral Health. And I'm on that Elements Behavioral Health team, and I've had the absolute pleasure of meeting Rob, and now we're teaming up and having way much fun. And Rob, first, welcome to Her Radio. Michelle and I are just thrilled that you're here to help us kind of tease apart what sex addiction is all about.
Absolutely, and I want to make it clear to your listeners, Pam, that we're not having that kind of fun. We're having a lot of fun.
Rob, just a minute. There's a book, and you wrote the book. It's called Sex Addiction 101, A Basic Guide to Healing from Sex, Porn, and Love Addiction. All right, is sex addiction real?
Sex addiction is absolutely real. Any intensely pleasurable activity or experienced substance has the potential for addiction. So, you know, what people kind of don't understand, I think, generally these days is more the process or behavior addiction. So when you run into addictive eating or addictive gambling or addictive spending, and it's certainly in the area of sexuality, people kind of go, oh, well, that can't be an addiction. I mean, everybody does that. But that's very much how we used to look at alcohol, drugs, and those things, was more as kind of a moral issue or something that someone could just change if they wanted to. And that's when we didn't understand substance addictions. Now we're really coming to understand the behavioral addictions, which really are the way for the 21st century, I think.
So, Rob, tell us, what is the definition of a nymphomaniac?
Well, nymphomania, and the term nymphomaniac, because I think you're wanting to refer maybe to the movie that came out not that long ago, which, by the way,
yes,
is a very Lars von Trier, I believe it was. Very good movie, very painful, sad movie. But he used the title, it's interesting actually, the word nymphomaniac goes back to a description of male, a failure in male sexual performance is actually the original meaning of the word nymphomania. And sometime in the 19th century, it got translated to mean loose women, or women who were having lots of sex and were acting out sexually, you know, prostitutes, or weren't married and having sex and that kind of thing. So it ended up being a general term derogatory toward women about women who enjoy their sexuality, basically. But it doesn't really exist in the therapy literature. We don't really use that word. It doesn't really have any meaning to us. It's more like calling somebody a bad name.
We always get pinned
so
with
what,
these things.
Well, yeah, I know,
right?
Seriously.
So you two are so excited about this call. I'm excited about that. That's good.
We are.
I'm not even going to go there, Rob. We've been really, I mean, we have so many questions. So what's the difference between people who like sex and people who are sexually addicted?
Well, a couple of things that might be worth throwing out there, just addiction in general, and this might help you. You know, people will say to me, well, okay, how much sex do you need to have to be an addict? You know, I mean, you know, if it's three times a week, fine, but if it's five times a week, you know, then maybe. And, you know, the answer that I would give you is, well, how many drinks make an alcoholic? Or how many desserts make someone a compulsive eater? You know, we don't really define addiction by how often. And then people will say, well, okay, it's fine, but what kind of sex is sex addiction? Like, surely you can tell me if I'm doing this with this kind of person, or I like to do that with that kind of object, that must be sex addiction. And my answer to that would be, well, do you define alcoholism by someone who drinks whiskey but not wine? Or somebody who eats sugar but doesn't eat carbs? You know, that's really not how we define addiction. So we don't define addiction in quantitative terms, meaning how many, how much, what kind. We define addiction by how it affects somebody's life. So to me, someone is a sex addict if their sexual behavior is profoundly interfering with the functioning of their day-to-day life in ways that they don't want it to. In other words, it's destroying their marriage or their relationship. They're unable to have relationships. they get caught looking at porn at work or sexually acting out at work, or they get arrested, some kind of sting. You know, when your sexual behavior is causing you problems in your life, and then you're not saying, oh my goodness, look at those problems my sexual behavior is causing, I better change it, but you just think, well, let me move my life around a little bit so I can keep doing these sexual behaviors and not, and but try not to get in trouble for them, that's when I'd say, sounds like something is not right here.
Well, Rob, right. May I ask you a question? You know, when you're looking at it, the issue of addiction, two hallmarks of it in general tend to be when the person experiences a sense of loss of control, and then after having done whatever they're doing, that they also have shame, blame, and guilt. Is this also applicable to sex addiction?
Yeah, I would add in certainly loss of control, but let's say what that means for a sex addict. Loss of control for an alcoholic means they say they're not going to have another drink, and then they drink anyway. For a sex addict, it's more like, I'm not going to look at that porn, I'm not going to call that ex-girlfriend, I'm not going to stop off at the massage parlor, but then when it comes to shove, I find myself doing it anyway, even though I may have had consequences for it. So that's what loss of control looks like in sex addiction. But there's also things like a sense of preoccupation or obsession with not so much the sexual act itself, but looking for sex, looking for partners, looking for flirtation. I'll often say that in practice, sex addiction is much like compulsive gambling. When you sit with a compulsive gambler or an addictive gambler, he or she is not really that focused on the big win. They're mostly focused on the next round of the cards. What's that next round? Boy, that next is going to bring me the big win, and the next one's going to... But they're not so focused on what's happening in front of them. It's more this idea of what will happen. And for sex addicts, it's very similar. It's like, it's the excitement about what might be and what I can get into, not just the act itself.
So what are ways in which sexually addicted people can, you know, can get better, get well?
Well, this is a great question. You know, first, of course, identification. And I think what Pam was talking about a moment ago, ideas like, for example, I first would want to see if I had a problem. So I would do some research. I'd take some tests online. I would go, I have a website, which is robertweissmsw.com. And you can look that up. And there's a self-test on there. And you can see, well, do I have a problem or do I not? Self-education, I think, is really important. A third thing, just in terms of identification, is finding somebody in your life and telling them everything about what you've been doing and checking out with them. Does this seem healthy for me? Am I missing something? Is this, you know, so all, getting the external references to see if there is a problem. And then if there is a problem, the first test to see how you can handle it would be to simply try to stop. They say in Alcoholics Anonymous, if you don't think you're an alcoholic, just stop drinking for 30 days. And I would say the same thing to a sex addict. If you don't think you have a problem with porn or prostitutes or affairs, or just stop all of that for 30 days and see how your life goes and how that is for you. And if you find you're not getting into flirtations and taking people's business cards and calling them up in the middle of the night and, you know, getting on Facebook crew, you know, if you can stop all of that, it may not be addictive.
Rob, could you talk about what you do with Elements Behavioral Health?
Sure. What I initially started doing was setting up sex addiction programs in various facilities around the country. Elements is a big, it's a conglomerate of kind of like a family of treatment centers, if you will, at every different price point, insurance only, all the way to the really fancy places. And we treat both addiction and mental health issues in kind all over the country. So a lot of what people have been coming in with, who are coming in plain old for addiction treatment, like drugs and alcohol, in the last few years they've been coming in with things like, ooh, I also see a lot of prostitutes, or I also go to the sex club a lot, and we've been
Well, I want everyone to understand that Rob's work with Elements Behavioral Health is pivotal, and the treatment program for sex addiction is just absolutely the best in the country. Rob, I want to thank you so much for joining us on Her Radio, Senior Vice President of Clinical Development for Elements Behavioral Health, helping us understand sex addiction. I'm Dr. Pamela Peek with Michelle King Robeson.
You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Stay well.